spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul is praying for those Christians in Ephesus, and he is praying for all Christians everywhere who would read these words, that we might know Jesus better. Because when we know him better, we will love him more. There's information, there's content, there's stuff that he wants us to know about him, but the more we know, the deeper we will love. As we just read in our gospel, before Jesus ascends, he teaches them. He opens their minds. They get all the Old Testament. They start seeing the prophets, and they start seeing Moses. They are reminded where all the connections are, and he teaches them, this is me. It was all pointing to me. It was pointing to my life. It was pointing to my death. It was pointing to my resurrection. It has been fulfilled, so now it needs to be preached about. But he's going to ascend, so who's going to be doing the preaching? You are. He tells them, that's your job. Go to Jerusalem, but then spread it all over the world. I have opened your minds. Not just so you can say, cool, awesome. I read Habakkuk, and now I know what it's about. He opens up the scriptures so they can see within the Old Testament the fulfillment in Jesus. His life, death, his resurrection. And now that they know that, it's not to pat themselves on the back. It is to go out and it is to spread that gospel. It is to spread that word. It is to make his promises known. It is to preach to the ends of the earth. It's now their job. He is ascending into heaven. Who has left, they are. You are. I am. It's our job too. So, I never do this. Never do. Plenty of colleagues to do, for whatever reason, it just always struck me as something I would rather do back in children's church than have children's church today. So, kids, come here. All right. I give children's sermons every Sunday, but I give it back to children's church, not, you know, kind of here with everyone else. However, what day is today? Mother's Day. What are we supposed to do on Mother's Day? Yeah, give her mother things, like gifts, and maybe do flowers. Okay, we've actually got flowers for all the ladies of the church, including your own mom, and you know, you can take one as you go, so they can feel special and they can feel loved. Now, what do mothers do? This is a trick question because I'm going to teach you something. Okay? Oh, they give you all their love. That's true. Take care of you. Provide, feed us. Okay, so, grammar lesson. Okay? The word mother, is it a noun? Meaning a thing or a person? Or is it a verb, meaning an action, something that happens? What is it, noun or verb? It's both! It's both! You didn't know that probably, but mother is like your mom, like that's a person, noun, but it's also a verb. To mother someone means to care for them, to provide for them, and to love them, and all the sort of stuff that you guys talked about. So mothers, mother, right? Yep. Noun and a verb? Yep. Can you think of anything else that's a noun and a verb? Because I got one that's in my head right now. Okay. The suggestion was father. It doesn't work in the same way. Because a father noun, who fathers children? Okay. I'm thinking about the word love. Love is a noun, it's a thing. You feel it in your hearts. You give it to someone else. Love is also a verb. It is an action. Can you love someone? Can you show them love? Act in a loving way. Do loving things. Does your mom do that for you? So when your mother mothers, that's love showing love, isn't it? It kind of works out. Okay, now, what are some of the things your mom wants you to do for her on Mother's Day?
Clean the house.
Clean the house. Make breakfast. Help her with laundry. Wash the... Has any mother said, you know what I want for Mother's Day? For you kids to get along. You ever heard that one? So, these things that mom wants, and she likes the gifts and the pretty things and the nice things, but she also wants you to get the house clean and to treat each other well and to be good and to do nice things for the other people in the family, right? Isn't that true? Well, do you think that if it would be very sweet for you to clean your house today for Mother's Day, that tomorrow you should trash it? No? If your mom wants you to get along with brothers and sisters and the rest of the family on Mother's Day, and that would be a special gift for her, does that mean that tomorrow you can smack them in the head and tell them they're a dirty old so-and-so? Why not? Well, yeah, it's still being mean to them. Why does your mother say clean your room, clean the house, and be nice? Because she wants you to do it right in that second? Or does she want you to be the sort of person who, when they grow up, keeps the room clean? When they grow up, they treat each other nice and with love. To the point where she doesn't have to say it anymore. Oh my gosh. Now what kind of gift would that be for Mother's Day? She didn't even have to ask you to clean your room, you just did it. She didn't have to ask you to be nice to each other and to get along. You just did it. How do you think she'd feel about that? Moms, show this love. Mother's mother. So that you will be different. That it grows in your heart. You remember what they've said and what they've done. You know, one day you're going to be old enough to not live at home again. You're going to maybe go out to college, or you're going to go live in a different house, or go get a job or something like that, and mom's not going to be right there next to you all the time. What are you going to do? I mean, you can still call her stuff, right? Yeah. But what she's taught you, how she's loved you, all the things that have happened, they're not going to be the same. And you're going to be different because of them. You can be the sort of person that you have been raised to be. You have been brought up to be. You have been taught to be. And then maybe you'll have kids. And you can teach them too. To keep the rooms clean. And to make you ready. And to get away. What do you say? Does that sound right? Okay. Head back. Now, we're going to help them understand this. I want everyone to take your bulletin insert. I'd like to open it up. Now I want you to fold it inside out. Okay? So you fold it outside in, now I want you to fold it inside out. Now, open it back up again. Try to do this as a kid. Hold it right there, and if you pull carefully, you can rip right down the seam. Have two nice sheets. Okay, how do we do? If it tore someplace weird, just pretend it's tore. Okay, we got two. Okay. So, we have on the first sheet, we have our first reading. What's the first reading for us? Acts. Okay. On the back of the second sheet, we have our gospel reading. What's our gospel reading?
Luke.
Okay. So, when we look at Luke 24, 44 through 53, we are actually looking at the very last verses in Luke's gospel. Last paragraph, last chapter. These are the last things that happen as Luke is intending to write about the life of Jesus. His birth, his ministries, his miracles, his teaching, his death and his resurrection. And it ends with what we remember today, the ascension. Jesus opens up the minds of the disciples. He teaches them. He reminds them that all of Scripture has been pointed to him, and he has fulfilled it through his own life and death. Now, he wants them to go out and preach. He ascends into heaven to be in glory and with the presence of God the Father. He's above all things. And then he will return again one day. But all the preaching, all the teaching, it's somebody else's job now. Alright, so that's how Luke's gospel ends. First reading from Acts, this is about the church. Okay? It begins kind of in the same spot that Luke's gospel ended. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about how Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken to heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit and the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay? So he's talking about that same event that's happened. In my former book, Theophilus, is how Acts starts. What is his former book? It's Luke. Luke writes the book of Acts. He writes it as the sequel to his gospel. Luke writes Luke, and Luke writes Acts. Same guy, writes two different books. He begins Acts by saying, you know, remember my last book, the one I call the gospel, that was all about Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And now, he says, I'm going to teach you about what happened in the early times of the church after Jesus had ascended. So, we've ripped up and we can see these in two halves. We are going to help the kids remember what I've just told them about Mother's Day, about how with a mother mothering, showing them that love and that care, being there when they fall down and scrape their knees and put your arms around them, making them dinner, helping them understand how to act and who to be, teaching them how to read, all these things that are done for a purpose. Okay, it is love and it is a gift, but it's also with a hope. You know, why do you read storybooks to small children? With the hope that one day you won't have to. Not because you don't want to, but why will you not have to? Because they're going to read on their own. You want them to develop this ability to read and a love of reading. And then they're reading on their own. Okay? If you have to teach a child to make a bed, clean a room, wash a dish or whatever, what is the purpose of doing that? So you have one less thing to do? Kinda. But there's a hope attached to it, right? That by teaching this skill and by having them practice it, they will become the sort of people who grow up keeping their dishes clean, keeping their rooms clean, and it'll make a difference later on. Those are habits of life that will shape them into the sort of grown-ups they will be one day. When you show the love that you have for them with that skinned knee or by going to their band concert or by making sure that there's food on the table and all these things that happen on a daily basis, they're very simple, they're very small, but they build up over time and there's a hope attached to them each. And with that hope, it is pouring love and life into this child that they will grow and they will become the sort of adult who will reflect that love and that care that has been poured into them. And maybe even one day they will pass it along to their children and their grandchildren, and this love will continue generation after generation. Follow so far? So, here's our second page with our gospel, written by Luke, and about the life of Jesus. Imagine then, in his life, Jesus is preaching, Jesus is teaching, Jesus is doing these miracles and healing. He is living, he is dying, he has been raised again, and he is investing in his disciples. He is teaching his disciples. He is raising up his disciples. This is like how a mother mothers, how love loves. All of these things have a hope attached to them. By having the scriptures open to them, by seeing the miracles and hearing the teaching, by Jesus being there looking at them eye to eye and face to face, they will be shaped and grown into the sort of people that all of those things that have been invested in them have changed them. From the inside out, they are different people than they would have been had they not been exposed to that, had they not been blessed by that, had they not been raised by that. All right, so we have our gospel, okay, that is Jesus face to face, eye to eye, raising up his church, and then we have the church. With the ascension, Jesus is not there with them every day. Jesus has ascended in power and in glory. He is in intimate fellowship with God the Father. And so, who's left to do these things? To preach and to teach and to heal and to love. And who is going to do it? Jesus has been the preacher. He has been the teacher. Now who needs to do it? We need to do it. All of the things that he has taught us in his gospel, now to be a part of our hearts and a part of our lives, that we would be different because of it, and now we can pass those things along to children of our own, and children's children, and the generations still to come. He raises up spiritual children in his gospel. Those spiritual children come of age in the book of Acts. So we split them up, and we can put them back together like this. The gospel goes first. This is raising the child with the mother mothering and with the love loving. And then it moves on into the book of Acts. The book of Acts is where the kid grows up and goes and gets a job or moves away to college or something happens, and now the responsibility starts to shift from mom being by my side and with me every day to what sort of person am I going to be and what am I going to do with my life? And the way that the mother mothered and the way that the love loved, making a difference and now coming out in who the church is, how the church acts, how the child as an adult is, and how the child as an adult acts. So, that's kind of scary and it's kind of big to think about a child leaving home. Maybe graduating. And there's both great pride and there's also sadness and worry. Now, you mothers with some experience, when a child moves away, you don't stop being a mother, right? That doesn't end the job, does it? A mother still mothers, doesn't she? You don't stop worrying. You don't stop giving advice. You don't stop being there in case they ever call or they need something. In the same manner, the church grows up and now needs to take this responsibility, needs to be able to demonstrate how they have been raised, how we have been taught, how we have been loved. It might seem a little lonely, it might seem a little scary for Jesus to ascend into heaven to be with God the Father, but he promises he does not leave us alone. His Holy Spirit is a comforter to be with us and to be in us. He has promised not to leave us to the end of the age. Something goes wrong, 18, 19 years old, you're trying your best, but you still screw up because at 18 or 19 years old, you think you know everything, and you definitely don't. And so maybe, the church is still going to screw up. The church still screws up. We can, however, Jesus, we have not been left alone, but it has changed. Instead of right here, Jesus is preaching and he's teaching. Instead of right here, mom is helping you and making sure you do your homework and making sure you eat your vegetables. These things have been done out of love and for our care, but also with the hope that we would mature into people who wouldn't need to be told to eat our vegetables. We would eat them because they're right and good. We wouldn't need to be told to keep our rooms clean because it's just a better way to live. We wouldn't need to be told to get along with each other because that's the sort of people we are, who show love and care, and who show sacrifice, and who show compassion. So the Feast of the Ascension works pretty well with Mother's Day if we see ourselves not as the mothers, but as the children. Jesus has raised us. He has taught us. He has cared for us, protected us, provided for us, and He has loved us. He's even mothered us like a mother. But now, with the Ascension, we remember how He has been raised in glory, taking our own humanity into heaven, our own flesh and blood into the Godhead. And it's theologically powerful, and it's scripturally important, and all these sorts of things. But just as our scripture reading ended, our minds and our hearts have been opened, not just so that we would know stuff, but because we know stuff, we would do stuff. Your mom taught you, not just so you would know, but so that you would do. And Jesus is no different. Out of love, through His ministry, through His life, through His death, and through His resurrection, He has been raising us up into spiritual maturity. The Easter season closes now with His ascension in power and in glory. Not that we're left alone, because we never are, but now to stand and be responsible. Now that we know, we need to do. We have been raised. We have been loved. We have been mothered. And now it is our time to continue to grow up with that and to pass it along to our own children and our children's children, so generations still to come may know God more and more, because when they know Him more and more, they will love Him more and more. We now know. Listen to your mother and do it.